We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
David Fizdale is the new head coach of the New York Knicks, and yesterday was his big coming out party. Nice enough to join us today. David, welcome. How are you?
How you doing, Mike?
Very, very well. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I watched some of your press conference last night when I got home, and you were obviously very well received. I think things went very smoothly. How did you feel your first day in New York? How did you think everything went from a standpoint of going through your first day in the big city? How did it feel?
It felt great. I'm still kind of floating from it. I'm trying to get myself down to earth so I could get to work here. But, it really is, when you join a historic, organization and a city that really takes so much pride in their team, and to be received the way I was yesterday, that really made me feel good. And, I don't take that stuff lightly.
I liked how you said that. You always told your mom you were going to play in the garden, and now you got the coach in the garden. So, you know what?
Yeah.
If you can't have one, the other one's pretty good.
Yeah, I was slow and I couldn't shoot. So it just, I couldn't get there as a player. But you know what? It was a pretty good secondary, nice little backup situation, actually, to say I'm the head coach of the New York Knicks.
From the outside, how do you perceive the franchise you're inheriting as far as the talent you're inheriting?
Well, I think they have some good young pieces in place, some guys that can be developed, some guys that can be groomed and turned into two-way players. Obviously, KP, I think, is just a megastar in the making. He's already a superstar. I just feel like it's some guys that have some real potential there. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. obviously is a talent. And the way I want to play, he fits it perfectly. Moutier has kind of been, discarded a little bit because it didn't work out in the first place he went to. But he's still a number five pick with a ton of talent. And I just feel like I've coached guys like him, and Tyreek Evans and Dwayne Wade, who are real attackers and know how to get into the paint. Obviously, Frank has so many great dimensions about him. I love his toughness, his defensive disposition, the fact that he's an unselfish player. He's 19 years old. The kid's body is still, he's still going through puberty, basically. So, I just see a lot of good pieces there. Trey Burke, I think Lance is a Swiss Army knife type player that can guard multiple positions and you can run offense through him. I think he can push the ball off the break a lot like Draymond Green plays. Obviously the thing I'm going to demand from Lance is to play defense like Draymond and be, a guy that's pushing to be a first team all defender. But I like the character of all of these kids, and I think they're all going to be anxious and ready to get to work.
I know I'm talking with David Fizdale, the new coach of the Knicks. Certain guys, that their fingerprints will be all over anybody that comes through their system or their culture. And You came from the Riley culture, which means you're going to preach conditioning because you know how a fanatic he is on that. And what a fanatic he is on mental toughness. Do you believe as much in that as he does?
To my bones.
So we were talking about, what Riley and the idea of the mental toughness, the defense, the conditioning, all that stuff.
Yeah, I just believe that if your team can take care of those things have zero to do with talent and athleticism and all of the other things that you're born with, And so if you can get those things to an A-plus rating and you instill that into your team across the board, I just feel like you're already ahead of the curve when it comes to winning and culture.
Can you push Porzingis with the incredible skills he has? Do you have to somehow deal with the fact that he's so big and it puts different, it taxes him differently than it would a player that was smaller? Because of all his abilities, does the size become a little bit of a detriment in terms of keeping him healthy?
He's such a lean guy. Naturally, I think about the way you keep him healthy while getting him in shape is, non-impact cardio machines. You have to be creative with guys. You know, we still got Dwayne Wade safe in Miami, but his knees couldn't take all of that running and pounding that a lot of other guys could do. And, you know, with Porzingis coming off of this injury, you know, we just got to be creative in the way that we attack his cardio and without necessarily putting wear and tear on his legs. And, you know, with the latest in sports science and technology, that these guys especially have invested in, I think he'll be a top condition guy, and at the same time, that's going to take his game to another level.
We're talking with David Fizdale. I know you tried to, you know, adopt a new culture in Memphis, and that wasn't easy with a team that had a lot of established players, established big man, established way of playing. What did you learn from that episode?
It was actually very good for me because they had a culture established. You know, I had to navigate that culture without disrespecting it, but at the same time, they brought me there to fill in the gaps and take it up to a championship-level culture that could, you know, mold to today's players and also mold, you know, stylistically to today's game. And so, you know, navigating that landscape was really good for me. I made some mistakes. I did some things successfully. You know, like I said in the press conference, I thought, you know, my biggest failure was that I just came in there guns blazing on everything. And, you know, you learn with age to be patient with things. And you know, I learned really fast that I got to go in, you know, into this next situation with much more of a long view and at the same time a lot of patience.
You know, this might make me a dinosaur. So I keep hearing from all the new coaches when they take over now about player relationships. Are we at a stage now where you just can't be tough on players anymore, where you have to go in and develop? Now, I understand if you got a LeBron James, you want to develop a relationship with him, or a Michael Jordan. But if you don't have that kind of player, can you push players, or do you have to have good relationships, or do you have to be nicer to these players now?
Let me put it this way, Mike. You have to build the relationship to build the trust to be able to get on a player. You know what I mean? You really have to earn their trust first, and that comes through spending more time with guys, spending time with guys, you know, outside of the gym, coming back to the gym late with guys, you know, doing different things, because it is a different generation of kid. But once you earn that trust, you can yell at them the same as you would the old school guys. It's just the difference with this generation is a lot of times while you're yelling at them, you got to be explaining why.
Okay.
This is why we do what we do. Here's the breakdown. Well, you know, back in the day, I just said do it.
Right.
My coach told me to just do it. You
right.
did it.
Right. So those days are gone, though, right? Those days are gone, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so because what you're dealing with is a generation of transfers. So, you know, guys will leave their high school now. Guys change AAU teams. Guys change colleges. Guys go leave early to go to the NBA. You know, guys leave their teams in free agency now. And so if they don't feel like they're getting the respect of you explaining why you're doing something with them and actually, you know, respecting the fact that they can receive that information and process it, a lot of these guys feel disrespected by that. And they'll tune you out or at some point they want to leave teams.
Do you have to be as three-centric as these successful teams are now? I mean, is it something I know you got to honor it, you got to be able to defend it, you got to be able to shoot it, but do you have to have guys, multiple guys that can knock that shot down now to win?
I think it's important for your best players. You know, for KP to be the best player he can possibly be, the guys around him need to be able to knock down threes and keep their defense honest. It's a big part of why Cleveland is thriving, you know, around LeBron because you have to make tough decisions. You're either going to let him go for 50
yep.
or you're going to come to him, and now he's moving that ball, spraying that ball to big-time shooters. And so you got tough decisions. You know, but at the same time, I think that if you don't have those players at the time, you know, I really believe guys should be taking shots that they can make. And not practicing, you know, not taking bad shots or low percentage shots that they aren't good at. So, you know, as we grow our deal and start to develop our guys, you know, I want our guys to do what they're great at first, and then as they develop into other things, you know, use those weapons.
So what's the thing right away, Knicks fans, and they're very, you know, they pay attention, they're savvy, they're and you know they show up, which is amazing. They show up year after year. I mean, they a lot of people think that's because of the building. It is a little bit, but you know what? The Knicks fan does show up. You know,
they're loyal.
They're very loyal, and they love basketball in this town. They really do. There's no way this town would not be captivated by a winning basketball team in a heartbeat. It would be. What's the first thing they're going to notice about your teams?
How hard we play. I really think, you know, because that's something I don't have to, again, that doesn't take talent. That takes big-time conditioning, and that takes an institution of toughness within the way we operate from a drill standpoint, from a practice standpoint, from a conditioning standpoint, the type of guys we're going to try to fill in around our young guys, all character, tough guys. You know, and that's what I'm going to demand from them. And then, obviously, systematically, I'm going to try to put them in a position to execute that toughness, you know, from a defensive standpoint and getting up into people and pressuring the ball and being disruptive and denying entry passes and nothing easy going into the post, obviously being physical in the blockout area, loose balls, rebounding. You know, those are things that's coaching and details, and that's something I'm going to be hammering on these guys.
We're talking with David Fizdale, the new Knicks coach. How are you doing on the staff? Are you there? Are you close?
No. We're just starting that process now. Obviously,
is that hard now? Guys will tell you now in the NFL. Now there they have a million coaches, but guys will tell you now it's very hard to find a good staff anymore because they get paid better in college. So guys stay in college now. Some guys don't want to come. It's very hard to field a good staff now. Do you think is it harder nowadays for you to field the staff in basketball or no?
No, there's some really good coaches out there and guys that I've been around a long time. Obviously, just being in this business and watching them work from afar or some people that I've worked with.
Right.
We could put together a big-time staff, and obviously a big part of that is going to be who they are as people from a character standpoint, their ability to develop young people, their ability to be available for these young guys whenever they need them, and at the same time can coach the system and implement the culture the way that I'd like.
Will your accent be defense and you'll have an offensive guy as your main lieutenant? Is that your deal or the other way around?
I kind of, you know, how I do it is I oversee it all from the level. I sit up above it all, 25,000 feet, and then I'll have an offensive guy and a defensive guy.
So they'll be equal?
Yeah, okay. Exactly right.
So you don't feel you're stronger? Do you feel you're stronger on one side of the ball than the other?
Nope. I think I'm a damn good coach.
Okay. Well, that's it. You know, because most guys are stronger on one side than the other.
Yeah, I've spent too much time in this thing studying both and building, you know, I'm thinking championships. You know, I know we're not there yet, and I'm realistic about that. But my whole life and everything I've put into this has been to structure something that can win a title. So I've never looked at myself as being great at one or the other. I've always just tried to fill in where I felt I was weak and just keep building on those things. So, you know, I don't like to say I'm one or the other. I try to be a damn good coach.
Interesting. That is interesting because most guys usually tend towards one side or the other. We're talking with David Fitt. How about recruiting players? How much of that is you versus how much is the organization?
I think, you know, that was a part of why another good reason why I felt good coming here is, you know, Scott and Steve want me to be a part of that and to do it from a coaching standpoint and always paint the picture for these players from a coaching perspective of how they would be used and implemented into what we do, being able to talk about the culture in detail from a coaching perspective to these free agents and in recruiting. And then the fact that I've developed some really great relationships around the league and a reputation with these kids and players that, you know, may make us more attractive once they see that we're doing things step by step the right way. But, you know, it's not that they need the help because I'm telling you, Scott and Steve are great because the way they spoke to me in the interview process, I would have went and played for them.
You know what? It's good to hear. I think everyone's excited. Hopefully, you know what? The franchise is due for some good times, so hopefully you're
That's
the right guy at the right time, and we wish you luck, and we'll talk to you along the way. Thank you for a couple of minutes. I appreciate you carving out some time for me today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, and anytime you want to talk, I'm here, buddy.
Thank you, Coach, very much. Good luck.
All right, my man.
David Fizdale, the new coach of the New York Knicks.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.